Welcome back to the Book of Psalms, everyone. Psalm 70 is a rather short psalm. It's a psalm of David and a petition for help in a hurry. The first verse gets right to it. Hasten, O God, to save me. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. No preamble, no long lead-in. This psalm was written for those days when you need God now. Though, as you read the words, they might sound a bit familiar. Have we seen this before? As a matter of fact, we have. The words are nearly identical to the last five verses of the much longer Psalm 40. You may recall that powerful psalm either from your journey with us or the classic U2 song, 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry. He put a new song in my heart. Now, it's a little ironic that Psalm 70 cuts past the part about waiting patiently for the Lord and cuts right to come quickly, Lord, just a simple and desperate call for rescue. And sometimes that's all you can handle. It's kind of like, you know, those times when you just really want to hear part of a song. The whole song is great, but right now you just need to hear this one set of lyrics that really hits home. And you're in the car and the song comes on and everyone just sort of grooves along with the first part, but no one actually knows the lyrics. Johnny da 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 da, you da 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 da. Then finally the good part rolls in. Whoa, we're halfway there. And then the line hits and the whole car is rocking out. Whoa, living on a prayer. Though if you're not an 80s kid, the song is probably different. Just fill in the one you remember. That's where I see David here. The whole song was great, but when trouble hits and I need God now, it's time to fast forward to that part. David had a lifetime of struggles, and sometimes he just needed a short little psalm to ask God for help. Back at verse 1, hasten, O God, to save me. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. Now, those of us more mature in the faith might be tempted to remind David that it's wise to wait upon the Lord. And of course, David might respond that he's the one who taught us that. Fair enough, but remember, respect the psalmist's feelings. He feels the urgency of his situation and he needs help. I don't know exactly what he's going through here, but knowing David's life, I imagine this song was sung often. I picture a scene like those times in old Star Treks when Captain Kirk is on the verge of being destroyed and desperately contacting Scotty. Beam me up. Beam me up now. Verse 2. May those who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. Now we catch a glimpse of what David is dealing with. People want to take his life. Looking over David's life, that puts this story somewhere. Okay, so that was pretty nearly his whole life. But keep in mind here, David is not exaggerating. He spent much of his youth wanted, dead or alive. And he preferred alive, thank you. He had no dreams of going down in a blaze of glory. And even as king, enemies arose from across borders and within his own palace. Have you ever considered what that was actually like for David? To know that wicked men were out plotting to lay their hands on him and take his life. And watch the parallel structure in verses 2 and 3. You'll see it three times, each beginning with the word may. May those who want to take my life, may all who desire my ruin, may those who say to me, aha, then be put to shame, be turned back in disgrace, and turn back because of their shame. You can feel the rhythm of enemies pressing in against him and pushed back by his prayers in each refrain. Pressing against David is the awareness that they want his life. Those wicked people want me to be dead. They will rejoice when they ruin me. That's awful. It's my life, not yours, and I'd like to keep it. Now, David does not retaliate in kind, but he does ask God to step in, to turn them back, and even more, to shame them. Twice he says shame and once disgrace. Their violent pursuit is wrong, and David wants their evil not only stopped, but exposed to the public. Now, that certainly is not always the right attitude. Many times, it's best not to shame and expose. Remember when Mary was pregnant with Jesus? Her fiancé, Joseph, had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, Mary hadn't sinned, but Joseph thought she had. Yet the Bible says that because he was a just man, he was unwilling to put her to shame. That's honorable. So what's the difference here? When is it right to expose and shame? I'd say the differences are malice and public safety. For sins of weakness, and when repentance is genuine, it is sometimes wise to keep the matter quiet, though with some healthy accountability among trusted friends. But here in Psalm 70, David's enemies are malicious and duplicitous. Covering someone's weakness is kind, but covering their lies can make us complicit. Remember that David had traitors in his kingdom, men who pretended to be loyal and even pretended to be godly, but hid their wickedness in the dark, the kind of people who give love a bad name. For a wicked person who harms the weak or preys on women or children, justice demands exposure. Too many churches have worked too hard to cover the malicious sins of church leaders that should have been exposed and done great harm to the reputation of Jesus. The Bible calls us to forgive, but it also calls us to walk in the light. Notice the wicked are saying to David, "Aha!" They want him humiliated. David asks God to turn the humiliation back on their own heads. "Let them be ashamed, for their deeds are shameful." Verse 4, "But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, 'The Lord is great.'" When I read this verse, I get a sense of exhale. David is calming down a moment. He gets his eyes off the threat. He gets his eyes off the threat of the godless and remembers the godly. For those who keep the faith, all those who seek the Lord, David wants to know that they will be rewarded for it, that they'll find what they seek. May they rejoice. May they be glad and find that gladness in you, Lord. As you read David's words, you can hear his desire to be one of those, to be counted among the faithful. He's praying for them as he prays for himself. He feels that same longing. Back in verse 4, "May those who long for your saving help always say, 'The Lord is great.'" Longing for God's saving help is exactly what David is doing now. But it helps to see it in others, too. David wants them to know God is great so he can know God is great. He wants them to hear God respond, "I'll be there for you," so that he knows he'll hear it. And notice the word "always." He needs that reminder that God never fails. Verse 5, "But as for me," I love that transition. David closes by getting real and honest. He just prayed for those who always remember God's greatness. But he gets honest and admits that these days, he's just not quite there. Back in verse 5, "But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. Lord, do not delay." And so David ends where he began, desperate for a miracle. "Come quickly, God." He's desperate, but he doesn't run away. He stays fixed on the Lord. "You are my help. Lord, do not delay." Read Psalm 70, and if you happen to be an 80s kid like me, extra points if you can find all my Bon Jovi references. 12 if you're counting. Until next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.